Chad, you didn't mention anything about me, anything about my heart, the missionary's heart. I was here yesterday, and I did my part. Somebody had to eat that food that people brought, and I volunteered, and so I just wanted you to notice my heart. Thank you, Chad. I think that was a little forced on my part, forced introduction, but you did a good job. Thank you. Ladies, thank you. And gentlemen, I guess some of you might have, I know some of you prepared some of that food last night, some of the men, and it was awesome. I always look forward to that during the mission conference. Now, maybe you were not able to come last night, and we surely understand that. But if you missed it just because you didn't want to come, wow. And I was sitting there listening to you all sing, and I thought, what? I would have missed that if I wasn't here. You would have missed that if you were not here. And the things that were said, the testimonies, the videos, the presentation, the challenge, the information about Honduras and Europe, the old communist countries. If you weren't here, you missed that. Then my mind went even a little further. And that brought really, 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 really great sadness to me. There are some that are not here, and we truly miss them. I don't know if they miss us or not, because they're in heaven. I, you know, we don't know what they're thinking up there, but they're having a great time. And I miss, we miss them and wish they were here. And then the greater sadness comes to me when, Pastor, when I think of those that really should be here, that through the years they've given up, or they've stopped, or they quit, or fell into sin, and allowed that sin and that wickedness to control their lives, and they missed all of this. And so I tell you that, I think the Holy Spirit spoke to me to tell you that, so that these young people, listen to me, please, don't miss that. Don't mess up your lives, because you're going to miss so much of good things that will be good for you, that will encourage you. Now, I'm so sorry I missed your 90th birthday, but I will be here for the 100th, okay? Am I invited? I am invited? Okay, well, I will be here, and I look forward to that, okay? Take your Bibles, turn to Ezekiel 7, verse 14. And then go to Matthew chapter 7. In Ezekiel chapter 7 and verse 14, we have read this verse. They have blown the trumpet even to make all ready, but none goeth to the battle, for my wrath is upon all the multitude thereof. Trumpet sounded, a great warning that the judgment of God was coming. And they did not listen. They believed the false prophets. And they did not heed what God told them to do. I believe that God would have forgiven them. I believe that if they would have repented of their sins and cried out to God and said, God, please have mercy upon us. We give our lives to you. I believe that God would have forgiven them and helped them. But they didn't. They did not listen. We said a few days ago that it was also prophesied what would happen to them. 1/3 of them would die from pestilence and famine, and that came about. Another 1/3 of them would die from the sword of the enemy, and that came about. And as you read through the book of Ezekiel, you'll find that repeated and revealed a couple times. And then he said, another 1/3 of you will be dispersed. And that is a great promise, because that fulfills that promise that God gave to Abraham, gave to Moses, and the great men of the Old Testament. And that promise that Christ would come one day and give his life for you and for me. Isn't it wonderful that our names are written in the book of life? Isn't that wonderful? That to know that our names are written down. If you've trusted Christ as your Savior, there's a register in heaven with your name on it. And I think it's spelled right. A lot of times they don't spell my name right. In Mexico, they spell it S-I-N-N-E-R. Because that's how it's pronounced. Ziner, sinner, you know. Hermanos, sinner, S-I-N-N-E-R. Okay. Good friend of mine in his 80s was needing to renew his driver's license. He went to the DMV, and the only thing that he had was they required a birth certificate or some identification other than his expired driver's license, and so he took his birth certificate. Well, I don't know if you have one like his. I do. It's all tattered and all folded up, and you can barely read it, and parts of it are missing. And so he goes with this birth certificate and presents it. And the guy said, "Sir, we can't take this." And he said, "Well, this is the only thing that I've got." And so he said, "Well, can I talk to a supervisor?" The supervisor came over, looked at the tattered document, said, "Sir, I'm sorry. We can't even make a photocopy of this. It's so faded. We can't see the information, but it's there and I'm here. And I'm sorry, sir, we can't accept it." So he calls back to Illinois. They said, "Well, you're going to have to get a new birth certificate." So he calls back to Illinois. He's from a little town. And he called back to get a birth certificate and talked to the lady, and she looked in the computer and said, "Sir, I'm sorry. Your name's not in there." "Well, I was born such and such date, and I was born in that town and born in this hospital." "Sir, I don't know what to tell you, but your name is, it doesn't come up. I've done some searches in the computer, and you don't exist." "But ma'am, I do exist." "Well, he might be an illegal alien. I don't know. I've said that several times to him. Maybe you're not from here." So the lady said, "Hold on just a second. Let me check something." And she did. She said, "Sir, at the old courthouse, there's a whole bunch of books. Give me a couple days. I'm going to research. I'm going to see what I can find out." And so they hung up. A couple days later, the lady called and said, "Sir, I went into the old courthouse and some old raggedy books, and I searched through those books, and lo and behold, your name was written down. And I've transferred all that to the computer. We will send out your new birth certificate." When he told me that story, I thought, wow, I am so glad that God's keeping the records. Because if man's keeping the records, my name's probably not there. But God's keeping the records. And when you trust Christ as your Savior, your name is written down. And one day your name will be pronounced. And I'm so glad for that. Listen, until that time, until he calls us home, until Jesus comes back in the air for us, you and I have an assignment. And that assignment is to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. So this morning I want to talk to you a little bit about the construction of missions. You know, we build a building, we build a house, and we have documents, and we have blueprints, and we have all of those things that tells us how to build that house, the best way to build it. The engineers may design a large building. And so those blueprints are for a reason. And so the blueprints that we have, now man's blueprints, and if you know anything about construction, and several of you are in construction, you know that because you've done it, you've adjusted those blueprints, amen? I mean, you have. And now I'm not a builder, but I've seen my son do that. Oh, this is, I said, son, it says on the blueprint here that don't listen to the blueprint. They don't always know what they're talking about. Now, if I don't listen to the blueprint when it's all over, we got a mess. I mean, a real big mess. And so, but the blueprints that we have here, the Bible, you cannot improve upon them. You, if you start to say, I think it can be done a better way, you're in big trouble.
Yes, sir.
Big trouble. Because now you're excluding God, you're excluding the Holy Spirit, you're excluding what He has promised and what He said to do, and you're putting it upon yourself and saying, I think I have a better way. Doesn't man do that? I think a better way to get to heaven is my good works. I think the better way to go to heaven is to be a member of this particular church. I thought for me, praying the rosary every day, going to confession every Sunday, I thought that was the better way to get to heaven. But there was an emptiness inside of me. I knew I was empty. And when I talk to religious people that are looking for those other methods to get to heaven, there's an emptiness there. They are so shallow. And when trials and testings come in their lives, they don't know where to go. You find them sometimes at the foot of a statue. We find them at the church kneeling, praying the rosary or lighting the candles. Because there's an emptiness there. They don't know where to go. They have no answers. And so God tells us about this subject of missions, of taking the gospel to the ends of the earth and how we're to do it. He likens this life to a man that builds a wise master builder in Matthew chapter 7 and verse 24. Therefore, whosoever heareth, verse 24 of chapter 7, Matthew, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine, whosoever will listen and look at these blueprints that I've given you. This is what God is saying about you if you will do that. And doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rains descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And every one that heareth these sayings of mine, and doeth them not, shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand, and the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. Wow. Remember Herschel Case? Love that man. I think about him often because his granddaughter married a preacher. And her husband is the youth pastor at the church where my kids go. Matter of fact, he's the youth pastor for three of my grandchildren right now. So every time I see her, I think of Herschel. And I say, thank you, Herschel. And now she's serving God. Now, Herschel was a great missionary. Herschel made a lot of mistakes. Herschel... You remember his accent? Now he lived up in New London, Ohio, in northern Ohio, but he sounded like somebody that came from Kentucky or Tennessee. I think that's where he was born. But he carried that with him up there. And can you imagine Herschel Case's accent in Australia? It's kind of like the guy that learned to speak Spanish from Georgia. A good friend of mine. And he came to preach for me.
And I heard him speak Spanish, so it wasn't a surprise to me, but to all of my congregation, as I was sitting there, and I introduced him, and he came to the pulpit, and he said, "Buenos dias, hermanos, ¿cómo están ustedes?" And all the people look at him and say, "Man, I've never heard it like this before." Strange. But his Spanish was good. I mean, he had good grammar, but he had that accent. But Herschel one day came out to El Paso to lay the foundation and build a building, the first building of the Bearing Precious Seed there in El Paso. I was there. I wasn't working in Bearing Precious Seed. I was a church planner. But my church came down, and Herschel was there, and several builders, several men. Now, I'm used to the desert and the sand and all of that. So they start pouring that cement. But Herschel didn't put any footers down. And someone asked Herschel. Now, Herschel's a builder. So they asked Herschel, "Herschel, how come we're not putting any footers?" "Oh, this is sand, and it packs right down, and you won't have any need. And behind, underneath that sand is caliche." He said, "It'll be fine." Well, it wasn't long. Then they built these. You ever been in El Paso with those big rock walls? So one-fourth of that building has these big rock walls laying on that cement. And it wasn't long. And if you've ever been into West Texas and that part of the country during this time of the year, what is the number one thing that we have that we hate? Sandstorms. And that wind can move that sand around. And it started moving that sand from underneath that wall, and the wall started to fall. Brother King came down. Not Dr. King, but Dr. King, he came down. And Herschel was there. And he looked at that wall, and the wall started to fall. And he said, Herschel, you're a builder." "Yeah." "The wall's falling." "Yeah." "Herschel, you're also a preacher." "Yeah." "Have you ever read Matthew chapter 7 that we don't build upon sand? We build upon the rock." And Herschel said, "I know." You and I can make some mistakes. Now, we could rebuild it. We can put a footer down there. We can fix it. But I'm going to tell you, you can't fix it if you're on the wrong foundation and you die. Because you're going to go to hell. You're not going to heaven. Not because I said it, but because Jesus said it. And the world's not going to receive the good news of the gospel if we're trying to build other ministries of just feeding them and clothing them. And now we have a great number of ministries, huge organizations, that just want to drill water wells in Africa and other places around the world so they can have water. Nothing wrong with having water, nothing wrong with having food and clothing. But I'm going to tell you, church, we got enough people that are drilling the wells and trying to clothe the people. We just have a handful of people that have surrendered their lives to preach the gospel to them. That's the assignment of the church. Now, how are we going to do that? God gave us a plan. And we do that by our faith giving. Turn over with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 7. In 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 7, we find these words. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 7. "Therefore, as ye abound in everything, in faith, utterance, knowledge, diligence, love, see that ye abound in this grace also." And that's the grace of giving. What did the Macedonians do in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 1? They gave of themselves. They heard about this great need. And they were in need themselves, but they were willing to give of themselves, and they collected this offering far more than Paul ever anticipated. I've been coming to this conference for several years, and I've seen some of the speakers. Not all of them reveal it, but some of the speakers open their love offering check and say, wow, thank you, Pastor. Thank you, church. What a blessing. And they were in great need, and they needed a good love offering. The last church they went to, they didn't get too much. And God blessed through this church. This church has always been a giving church and a graceful giving church and giving abundantly. Brother Sturge travels around. I travel around. I see churches larger than this church that does not give as much faith promise. I almost hesitate to say that, lest you say, oh, well, maybe we need to give less. Well, but I've seen the blessings of God upon this church. This church is full of young people and people that are willing to serve and willing to give of their lives. Listen, when my children were small, they were immature. Wasn't all of your kids? Now, if you had a child that wasn't immature, you got a big problem. I pity you having to raise that child, because he's going to know more than you and tell you what to do. God has blessed this church abundantly. Can I say something? I'm an outsider. I might get rebuked later on for saying this, but I'll ask for forgiveness. Remember, they have to forgive me. Okay? Jeff and Chad are not little kids that ran around here when their dad just started this church. Did they get into things? Oh my, did they get into things. Did dad have to give them the evil eye, or maybe mom had to give them the evil? You're going to get it when you get home. I remember at my church, my nephew, his son, was running around the church, and one of the deacons, he was doing mischievous things, and one of the deacons stopped him and said, you stop doing that. And the kid, he said, I don't have to. My dad is the pastor of this church. Oh my. He got it when he got home. He never said that again. So I know. Because they were kids. And we see other kids running around. Now parents, be wise. And, you know, do you have any idea what discernment is? Discernment is seeing what others see that you can't see. They see something and you've just kind of, oh, I don't see this. Or maybe you don't want to see this. So have discernment with your children. I told the pastor, I said, I had a deacon in the church. He was German. His wife was Mexican. And the little boy, Andrew, had got some new boots. And he loved those little boots. And he'd go around, and he was kicking the ladies with those boots, pointed boots. So the ladies came to me and said, Pastor, Andrew's kicking the ladies with his boots. So Andrew came over next to me, and he went like this to kick me. I said, buddy, go ahead. Make my day. And he looked at me and I said, if you kick me, I'm kicking you back. And he thought, and then he kicked me. So I kicked him back. Now, I didn't hurt him, but I hurt his feelings. Oh, he went crying, went to his dad, who's a deacon. He, Pastor, did you kick Andrew? Sure did. Why would you kick him? Oh, he was angry. He was upset. And I told him what had happened. And he said, oh, and walked away. The sad part of that story is that he didn't learn anything from that story. Because he just never disciplined his child the way that he should. So, in this faith promise, or in your church, you're in construction, there's blueprints, and there's a manual, and that's the word of God, and we listen to it. He said that we are to live by faith. That's action, putting action with our faith. I can tell Connie I love her, but if I don't put any action with it, she's not going to believe me. I can tell God I love you, God, but if I don't put any action to it, you can come to this altar and kneel on your knees here and say, God, I'm sorry for my sin. Forgive me. But if you get up and don't put any action to it, you've done nothing. And so faith requires action. Utterance. That's speaking. That's trusting God's word. As we hear it, as we read it, we're going to believe his promises. Now, I can fail you, because I'm a man. But God's, he's incapable of failing you, because he's perfect. And his word is perfect. I could write a letter, and the letter can fail you, but not God's letter. He said in knowledge. What is knowledge? It's things that have been proven from past, things that you've learned from the past. Every one of us, we ought to have all kinds of knowledge, because we've learned from the past. We've listened to the preacher preach and preach and preach. Shouldn't that convert into knowledge now? What are we trying to give you when we talk about faith promise? Knowledge. Hasn't God blessed you in the past? And wouldn't that knowledge help you to say, I'm going to continue in faith promise and I'm going to give more? Diligence. A persistence or an effort or a desire to accomplish. I want to be persistent in my Christian life. I want to have a goal to finish well when I die. And so because I have that goal, I have a goal I want to please my wife. I have a goal that I want to help her in her weak areas through this life, because this life is tough. I asked the pastor, I said, Pastor, I can't come the days that we had our mission conference scheduled. So when Connie gave me the news of when they could do her surgery, it was right when we had the mission. I come every year to this mission conference. And she looked at me and she said, what are you going to do? Now, I have kids that could take care of her. I said, well, there's no question. I'm going to call Brother Springer. I'm just going to tell him I can't come. I want her to know that she's important to me, very important to me. And I see in homes where there's all kinds of problems that their partners are not important to them. I want us to understand the importance of this. It is important. It's not just something we do every year. It's just not some piece of paper that we fill out. It's 45 to 50 lives, families are in dependence of this, asking that God would bless this conference, that the support would continue, and not just the financial support, but your prayers towards them, that God would bless them and protect them. Oh, I'm going to tell you, more than ever, our missionaries are needing protection. God, help us, protect our children. Love. That's a passion and care and involvement. And he said, see, with all of those things that I've mentioned, see that you abound in this grace also, the grace of giving. All the communication, the construction of missions, the commitment of missions. This is a year-long commitment, a weekly giving for a whole year until we have the conference. Oh, I can't wait till the next year's conference comes, and then I'm going to stop it. That's it. Is that your goal? Is that all you're living for? Our house, I look at our house, and I think Connie and I have our house in pretty good shape. Put a new roof on, put a new furnace and hot water heater. You know, old people do that. You know, they say, you know, my kids said, well, Dad, why don't you just wait till it quits? Well, it's already 15 years old. And now that I have a few extra dollars, they don't understand that. We're going to put that money there So we either put the money in the furnace or the hot water heater, or we die and you get the money. So I think we're going to put it in the furnace and the hot water heater. Maybe that's what they're saying. Why are you spending all this money that we're going to get? Listen, let me inform you, it's not a lot. If you think it's a whole bunch of money, I'm sorry. It isn't. This commitment. Communication of missions. Jesus commanded them to love their enemies. Boy, that's not an easy thing to do. In Matthew chapter 5 and verse 38, he talks about that. In Acts chapter 11, verse 18, and when they heard these things, they held their peace and glorified God, saying, then hath God also to the Gentiles granted repentance unto life. That may not seem important to us, but to those Jews that thought that God was their God and their God alone, and now he's the God of the Gentiles? They had to deal with that. You and I have to deal with some things that maybe we don't like. So the communication of missions. The disciples in Acts chapter 11, verse 19 through 20, or 30, we find in verse 26 that the disciples were first called Christians. And so the world could look at them and say, wow, there's something different about these people. This morning I went in to have breakfast, and the other morning I went without my mask. I think I told you, and the lady said, hey, you got a mask? I mean, that's pretty much how she talked. And if you've eaten down there, you know who I'm talking about. I said, yes, ma'am. Well, put it on. If you're going to come around here, put it on. She talked really rough. Then I know why, because when I went out, she's outside smoking. She has that smoker's voice. And so I said, okay, yes, ma'am. So I put it on and sat there, and I was nice to her, and it, no sense in arguing. So this morning I went down there and had my mask on, and she was really nice to me and everything. I'm sitting there. Here comes this guy. Sir, you got a mask? Yeah. Well, put it on. And then he said, well, I don't like you yelling at me. I thought, man, let's get the camera out. There's going to be a fight in here this morning, man. This is great. And they started arguing back and forth. And she said, well, I'm sorry, sir. That's just my voice. That's the way I talk. And I was in the kitchen, and he did not like it at all. And he told her, but he put his mask on. He's just like most husbands, you know. We argue and all that, but we do what she tells us to do anyway. After I left, I went up to her, and I said, ma'am, I said, I sure wish I could invite you to church. But I said, I know you gotta work today. I wish you could go. I said, do you go to church anywhere? She told me where she went to church. And it doesn't cost anything to be nice. It just doesn't. You know, you get your feelings hurt, but just, you know, what are we communicating? What are we missionaries trying to communicate to you? We're trying to communicate to you that there's a lost world out there that needs Christ. The Council of Missions in 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and 9, we see what Paul tells us. It's faith in action. Faith by example, the Macedonians, the Philippians. And then one day, the conclusion of missions. In Jeremiah chapter 3 and verse 34, and they shall teach no more his neighbor to know the Lord. For they shall all know me. One day is not yet. But one day we will never have to witness. We will never have to invite somebody to church. We will never have to ask somebody if they know Jesus as their Savior. One day. Because they will all know him. Well, I long for that time. So let me ask you this morning. Will you give? Young people, will you go? Will you tell? You know, it's not so hard. Why? I don't know the Bible. I'm not a theologian, and I don't know the Bible like you. And I don't know. They might ask me a question that I don't know. It's okay. Just tell them how you got saved. If you're saved, you could, anybody can do that. Well, I don't know if I'll get it right. Well, give the plan to the preacher and see if you got it right. And if you don't have it right, he'll tell you, no, you ain't got that right. Will you give? Don't slack off. There's a great need. And that's to take the gospel. God wants you to act and live by faith. And he will bless you for that. That's in the blueprints. That's in the pattern. That's in the manual. And God doesn't lie. He will bless you. Let's bow our heads with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. No one looking around, please. Might there be someone this morning that would say, preacher, pray for me. If I were to die right now, I'm not sure I'd go to heaven. I've never been born again. I've never been saved. Preacher, pray for me. No one looking around. Just slip up your hand and put it down. Might there be someone? I'm not sure if I were to die right now. I've never trusted Christ as my Savior. I'm concerned about it. Pray for me. All right. Might there be someone else that would say, preacher, pray for me. I want to participate in faith promise, but it's going to be a great act of faith on my part. And my faith is wavering. Would you pray that God would help my unbelief and give me strength today to make the right decision? Just slip up your hand and then put it down. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. All over this congregation, God bless you. God bless you. Father, I pray for these that raise their hands and say, God, help me, give me strength. This is a tough decision for us. And Lord, it's so hard. Lord, help them, convince them that this same faith that saved them can be the same faith that they trust in to sustain them in their faith promise giving. Lord, may all of us have a love for you like we've never had before. And I know that if we will love you like we should, we'll love our neighbor as ourselves. So God help us. Lord, I don't know how that you've dealt in the hearts of people this morning, but I pray that you bless this invitation. Speak to hearts. Move in our midst. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Let's